of Craft Country, the podcast hosted by Goddess Love Jones, DKA X Factor, DKA Bad and Bougie, and your other host, Black Chanel, DKA The Guru, DKA The General, DKA Red Panther. And this is a podcast where two divas talk to you about the HBO series Lovecraft Country.
We do. What's up? This is the last episode of the season.
I can't believe it.
What the hell?
I'm like, Misha, there's not 20 episodes.
Misha, listen, I thought about your call from last episode and I was like, if she didn't hear you, there's going to be a problem because...
Like,
what do you... Near the end, I paused it and we had 15 minutes to go. And I was like, how the hell are they going to wrap this shit up? Like, what the fuck? And I have to say, I was not unhappy. I mean, I was very sad and upset, but I was not unhappy about the quality of the story wrap up, or just like the cliffhanger didn't piss me off, but it also made me be like, oh, so much can happen.
I know. It just felt like, all right, like this is what happens.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was, all right, this is what happens. Cool. Okay, so where do we start?
So to be honest, we start at the auto shop that George used to run where they sell the Negro travel guide. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just kind of like, there are going to be some clips where you see like Black people just happy, Black people moving into neighborhood and stuff. And it's just, this is all they worked for. Like, it just kind of, you get glimpses of that. Although at the end, that's not what we really like. That's not the note mm-hmm. that we end on, but they start on that. Like, they're going to figure some shit out and they're going to make. So.
And when we remember the pilot. Yeah, like remember the pilot, there was a whole block party. And so it's like we kind of start remembering we are a part of this regular ass world at the same time with all this magic shit happening. Like we're still in Chicago, like we're still in this community. So like, yeah, like you said, it kind of that's why I said like they leave it where you're like, okay, like the world is an oyster after this, like anything can happen. And we also remember like they really have lives to live.
Yeah, and that's what all they're trying to do is like get out of this chapter and then go back to living their regular Black American lives. So, mm-hmm. But anyway, so the next scene, they're returning to Uncle George's apartment. They have Dee in their arms and they're talking about she's still has a fever. She still has like the look of Topsy.
Jigaboo,
yeah. Exactly. I wrote in my notes, like the look of the demon.
Yeah, it's all three, it's all the things.
Yes. And they opened the book of names.
Yes, that they get. Yep.
Nana Hattie gave them when they jumped into the 1921 Tulsa mm-hmm. history. And Nana Hattie gave Letty a script that opens the book of names. They open it and it goes straight to the page that shows the birthmark that Tick and all of his family members seem to have. And so that's automatically like, oh, it seems like there's some enchantment on the book that like relates specifically to their family and not to the Braithwaites. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting.
It's very interesting because it's like, again, there's this myth, there's this running theme that they are an aberration of the magic because, you know, Titus just ended up impregnating one of his enslaved women. And it's like, no nigga, like we are, I'm trying to tell you something. My predictions were 1,000,000% true. I claimed in episode 1 or 2 that it was all going to come down to Black women at the end of the day. And that's just what I feel vindicated.
I appreciate that. I mean, from a Black woman led and owned business.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Period.
Wait, you know what's so funny? Okay, we're going to get off track for 1 second because
we're going to stay off track. Let's not lie.
I know. Issa in Saturday Night Live.
LOL. I'm glad you watched, because I wasn't going to watch it because I was going to wait to watch the whole episode. And then I watched that clip and I was understood why you sent it because.
I guess. She dragged us so hard. She was like saying word for word, bar for bar, exactly how we sound on the podcast. And it was polite. And I was like.
I mean, she literally said this show was made for us. I'm like, we said that. Like, she just said all the things. I was like, Issa, like, give us our credit, sis. Like, give us our writer credit.
Yeah, so that was hilarious. And then the part when she was like, okay, white woman. Yeah. Because no. It wasn't easy. Learn and educate yourself. It was like,
yes, because
your time, reclaiming my time. And I was like,
well, because what's funny is that homegirl was like, what do I need to read to educate myself? And she was like, bitch, this is not for you. It's not, you can, if you show up, that's up to you. My favorite part of the sketch was that Kenan Thompson's character, who, by the way, Hall of Famer Kenan Thompson, was drinking, and he was like, oh, I guess I'm drinking by myself. So it started with a can of beer, and then he had two bottles of beer, and then he pulled out a quarter of Henny. And I don't know if anyone noticed that, because I was like, this is my favorite part of the sketch. And then by the end, he had a whole thing, like he was drinking a 40, and I was like, this is the best part of the sketch. This nigga's drunk. He's like an alcoholic, but those are the small details.
Message, like black women always going so hard and black men just like, well, let's have a drink.
Well, he was the only one who supported her. He was like, that sounds like an interesting show, but then we find out.
I know, wait, that's the other message, is we always come in so hard for them. Like, oh, why don't you do more? Why don't you do the work? Issa said that, do the work. And then Keenan's like, I'm here, I'm supporting, I'm here, I'm supporting.
Yeah, but also there's a small part where Issa says sometimes she just stares at people's crotches. It's like just a line, and basically go watch SNL where Issa hosted. But I'm triggered because when I was in grad school, we had these desks and they were tiered, and I was always on the bottom tier in the corner. And sometimes I would just wonder, and I would. I too would look at crotches, and I'm just really curious, like, did anyone ever notice? Did I think I was slick and people were like, why is this girl staring at my junk?
They noticed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But no kink shaming here. Anyway, we're going to get back on track. We're going to take
it. Yes, please. Yeah, this show is so hard to describe, and also like, that's why you have our podcast to walk you through it. Like, we keep telling people, you do not need to watch this show. No. Just listen to us and then go back and binge it later. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So anywho, book of names, and instantly Tick and Letty just faint. They just
pass the fuck out.
It's like, oh no.
I was like, damn, they tired.
Like, I was just like, that's just too abrupt.
Yeah.
It gets weird. It gets a little bit like, I don't know what the hell is going on in Lovecraft Country.
I was with it.
It's like, I'm committed, but I really don't know what's going on.
I'm saying, I felt like I got it. I felt like I was like, ooh, yes.
Okay, well, hey, that's great. They got transported into, like, it seems like another universe, another realm, and they're in the house that Montrose was raised in, maybe, because... The first house they go to is the lodge, and Tick is seized.
They're separated, yeah.
And then they go to another scene, and Letty sees Nana Hattie at the house that Montrose was raised at. So then they start
the Freeman house, yeah.
Dialogue, exactly. So Nana Hattie tells Letty that the baby that she's carrying that has their blood brought Letty back to the house in Tulsa where the book was last found. And then Hannah, in another scene, tells Tick that he was transported because they have to learn the history that was lost about their family. And it was like she's created this spiritual realm in order to always be able to pass on this information to whoever's supposed to. It's to him, but like to whoever is going to carry out like the prophecy of their family, basically, and save them all. So
yeah, there's the significance for me was when Nana Hattie was like, told Letty, because Letty was like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, is this shit gonna catch on fire again? Like, what's happening? And Nana Hattie was like, it's your baby, like you mentioned, it's already your baby. And I was like, okay, so like this whole bloodline is so magical that baby is like still connected to the magic, you know? Like, I don't know if you have ever heard these like this like black superstition that like well, maybe it's not just for Black people, but that kids are so connected to that realm, and then they like lose that over time as they get older. Yeah, like then that's why kids like react certain ways. Like my niece used to cry when random people would come around, and some people are like, you know, oh my God, don't be rude. Like, and we'd be like, if that baby crying, something wrong with that person. Like, I don't, like, there has to be, she's not liking, yeah, like there's some intuition happening here. So anyway, that's what I felt. I felt like George Freeman, the baby, what the second, what I guess he can't be a second, but George Freeman, the baby inside of Letty was like connected. And like you said, Hannah was saying that like, and Hannah was saying that this is a part of our family. And then that Nana Hedy, going back to, I don't know no book, but the Good Testament, was like, yo, we are protectors. Like, we have created this. So yeah. You want to do like, you want to say what, I'll say what Nana Hedy said, and you said what, say what Hannah said to Tick.
Sure. I feel like we just said it though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then the only other thing I would add is that Hannah talked about the struggle she had at first. Do you remember that part?
Oh yeah. I think that's coming up, but go ahead. Tell it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically these two scenes, like Coco was saying, is that they start going back and forth and they're both getting different information that goes together. So Tick's learning from Hannah the power of the magic in their family. And she just mentions that she killed herself. She died by suicide. And the reason why was because she would have these dreams where she would go back to burning and being on fire because of the magic that was in her. She didn't understand it or why. And then after she crossed over, she realized like she was still there and it was hers to harness. And so now she can harness the fire. And that's why when Letty had the dream before, and Tick said he also had that dream, it was her speaking because she's in that realm, like you said. And then he leaves Hannah and goes to another scene.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, that was really deep. And that was when she, right before she commits suicide, Hannah enchants everyone in their bloodline with that same mark so that they would always be able to access the spiritual realm.
Yes, basically that's what I was trying to say. Thank you. What she used to think was the place where she would go to be punished in her dreams, she made a safe space for she called it for all the ancestors. So like they would be able to be there and be safe. And so I just really was like, I pray that's what it really is. Like, I really hope that, you know, we all have ancestors creating space for us on the other side. And I think the idea that she transformed her space and found her power is so important and significant. Because later on, they talk about faith in this random scene. And I felt like it tied in. And going back to this ongoing conversation we've been having about spirituality and Christianity for Black people and how it, I just feel like, if you were really hardcore Christian, or you haven't been watching this, you dipped out at the first sign of the devil shit. But if you're still here, it's like there is a way to kind of bring it all together and make it about our internal spiritual lives as well as our beliefs.
Yeah, and that familial love that Montrose mentioned and how strong that is.
Yeah,
spirituality. So that's dope. And we don't see that like manifest in like shows. We don't see like someone create what they think it would look like. So this is cool. So yeah, they are now still with their like ancestral protectors, right? But Tick goes to another room and now he's seeing Dora, his mother. And this is the first time, I still wanted to get more of her story, but it's okay. So this is the first time we're introduced to Dora. And now Dora's telling her that, it gets kind of weird, but she says first that he's going to have to sacrifice himself for a greater life purpose. So like, that's unfortunate. We know that he's probably going to die, but like we think that that's what that means. But then she also says that both George and Montrose were part of her soul. And like, she really just like builds off of what they said in the last episode where Montrose said like they went through the Tulsa riots and that bonded them for life basically. So I was just trying to understand what she meant by like they're part of her soul, like.
Yeah, well, here's what I got from that.
A little freaky, but also like in a spiritual way, but in a physical way, but in a emotional.
Yeah. So to pull it all back together with the Issa Rae. Yeah, to pull it back together with the Issa Rae SNL reference, she talks about how sexuality was a part of this show, and I feel like it's not just being Montrose being gay, because I'm thinking, we're pretty sure he's not bi. It's also like him, like you said,
poly, what is it?
Pansexual.
No, poly when you are a woman with two men.
Misandry. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I was going to say, that's what I'm getting to. Like, so Montrose loved her so much. Like, they were so close that, like, there's no, it just, they're not having sex. Like, they really had intimacy. And so I feel like she was bringing up polyamory, which is in the general idea of multiple people being in love. But then misandry is when it's one woman. And that's why, like, yeah, I don't even know that, I'm not going to act like I know the roots of the linguistics. But so I, like, that shit came full circle for me, which is the name of this episode. Just this idea that, like, okay, they knew that what they had was unique and it didn't matter because they were all happy. And then I'm hoping that Hippolyta, when she came in, it was like also happy, because Hippolyta seems very happy with Uncle George. So I hope that, like, by that point it was maybe transition. But the fact that they were able to have that love is really important, because that needs to be shown more. We've seen so many ways to be loved in this show. And I think that that is what is so valid about it, that, like, you can, this is a random plug for another HBO show, but I just finished, and if you're looking at this release date and looking at the other release date, you know how long it's been. I just finished I May Destroy You. And that
show so much.
Yes. And near the end, they get into trans identity politics, and I'm like, oh my god, y'all fit this in, how the fuck, like, and I mean, it was genius, but, like, I really, like, that show, you know, hit a spot for me in so many ways. And anyway, I just bring that up to say that I love them squeezing this in and being like, yeah, bitch, like, I'm poly, like, suck my dick, like, who cares, like, I was happy, my kids were happy, well, you know, Montrose did beat my kids, but that's okay, you know, but yeah, but that my, everybody had love, like, everyone in this situation is loved, so. Yeah, so anyway, so he's...
Everybody was loved. That's beautiful.
I mean, he just missed his mama. When he laid on his mama's lap...
Yeah. I almost cried, too. I was like, I feel you, Tick. Like, you've been through a lot.
You just miss your mama. Like, you, and he didn't, you know, he wasn't even like, you cheated on my dad. He was like, I miss you, and I don't want to die. And now I don't want to die. I was like, I feel that way just knowing I can die. Let alone knowing I'm going to die, that's a different type of fucking stress. Like, that, like, I can't even, it was too much. So he's really happy to see her. And then Letty is, Nana Hedy had told Letty, like, Letty was like, oh, Letty was like, me? No. I'm just marrying in. I'm just fucking my way into the family. I'm not. And she was like, bitch, you get it.
Now.
She was like, be strong. He was like, he got his own shit to do, sis, and you need to get it together. And so by the time that Tick and here's the thing, in this realm everything's connected, because they just kind of turn a corner and walk through a hallway and they're in that same house with Tick and Nana Hedy, and Letty and Nana Hedy, and Letty is learning the language of Adam now.
Yeah, that was so interesting, because I was just like, oh, so, like, you, like, once you have the baby in you, you can be part of us, like, we're gonna give you the information you need to protect our ancestral line. So they just start teaching her spells,
and this solves the thing of what's better, a bigger commitment, marriage or a baby. We just answered the Twitter question. Thank you.
And that'll be our topic on our next show.
Case is closed. Yes.
LOL, that's hilarious. Yeah. So, okay. They are in the ancestral plane, and Nana Hedy is reciting spells, teaching Letty, and then they jump back to real life. Oh no, actually, so before they jump back to real life, they're teaching the spells, but they also do the spell that saves Dee to an extent. Yeah. It removes the curse from her, so then you see part of the what do we call,
she comes back to life,
part of her shadow being, like, materializes in the ancestral space, but then when they go back to the real life scene, D is being planted with the
curse. Yeah, I feel like it almost was an exorcism. They almost, like, pulled that dark spirit out, and I was scared that shit was gonna materialize in front of them. I was like, but
it comes through to the ancestral plane, but not all of it
disperses. So then,
and unfortunately Dee is left with her arm did not he was petrified, didn't go back to normal.
Yeah, and I feel like that is, we take what we can get. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? But it was, yeah, that was disappointing. And I wonder if you want to tell this a little bit out of order or no. You want to go scene by scene?
We can. What
did, it just
what
made me think about the Dee and Hippolyta scene and connecting those two, thinking about her hand. Oh, arm.
Yeah, because that was beautiful and motherfucking dope. Like, you want to go into it? Let's just.
So we're going to figure it out. We'll go back to this spell. You know we're going to get to the spells. You know we're going to get to the magic. That's going to happen. But so Dee and Hippolyta, Dee is back, but she's pissed, which, bitch, I would be too if I wake up and you and something ain't right with me. And also, when she woke up, I think she woke up thinking she was still fighting the demons, and that was scary in itself. So she is having a day when, like, Hippolyta is like, hey, babe, I'm back. Like, you know, and she brings her favorite food, which I thought was like peanut butter and jelly and pie, which I was like, what a kid. But yeah, but she hands it to her and she goes, you weren't there. Yeah. And then Hippolyta's like, no, she's like, listen, but I was in another universe, and like I named myself. And then we learned that that's why her hair is blue.
Right. Yes, can you see blue? Turn to the side.
I don't know if you can see it.
The profile. There you go. Ooh, yeah, that was the one. That was the look.
Thank yes. You. I did dye my hair semi-permanent.
Baker, so it's also relevant. Okay.
Yes. I gave myself Orinthia Blue for the show, but it's not showing up very well. But I did dye my hair, like I promised y'all, episode 9. So you're welcome. But yeah, so she was like, I'm the comic book character. I was like, bitch, I forgot about that hoe. I thought your hair was just blue because you saw God. I didn't know it was blue because of the thing.
LOL. But I'm getting emotional thinking about it because it's so beautiful to think about. Remember I said like, oh, remember they were going to look for robot parts? We're going to get to it. But I just loved them writing that story and that undercurrent of like women wanting to learn, wanting to innovate, wanting to be involved in like technology and science and just never really having the chance to shine and to show the world what they really know. But Hippolyta travels to the future and brings back all this information, and she said, listen, regardless of who's going to want to like award me something for what I know, I'm going to make a difference in our family's life and in the world. And then she shows me, you drew this in your comic, like you manifested this for me and for the world, for women and for Black women. And I was just like,
period.
I love it.
Yeah. And then there's an accompanying scene where so Dee's still pissed off at her because the whole idea is like, you weren't there, and Hippolyta is like, I would have tried to be, exactly. I promise you. I was on Earth 504, hootie hoo, and I was like, you know, learning, I was with the hot boys, and I couldn't. And she's like, no, like, you weren't there, it doesn't fucking matter. She didn't say fucking, but it doesn't matter what you wanted to do, you weren't there. And so she's trying to cheer her up in another scene, and she slides a comic book under her door, and it is Dee's talent with like Adobe, like fucking, you know, Disney Studios type shit. Like, it's like next level. And she's like, girl, we don't even, like, this shit is in 3D. Like, how is this happening? And then that's when she's like, oh yeah, Afua, like an artist in the future, taught me how to do this, and I'm gonna teach you. And then she's like, well, you know, my arm is fucking fucked up, like why would I do that? And I tweeted at this point that I would be mad too, because why they have her, this is not funny, but
in a towel,
in a sling, and it looks so nasty because she's like has to move it like this, and I'm like, and you know what it reminded me of?
It's literally like,
remember the nigga from Scary Movie with the
yeah. So I'm just like,
hold on. He was trying to
get her dirty.
Listen, that was so disgusting. But just remember the man trying to feed it, them. Yes, it does become better. But I'm just, hold on, Scary Movie when he was taking his little hand and trying to feed mashed potatoes. Did you see this movie? Is why you don't get.
For those
who remember, they're gonna scream because it was this nasty hand that this man used as his dominant hand, and he would like try to feed people with his hand. It was disgusting. Listen, for those of you who heard it, you're laughing with me now and you get it. Okay, great. So they did her dirty, but we don't see Dee again until really the end of the episode, really. So we'll come back. But that was Hippolyta and Dee, a beautiful thing where Hippolyta acknowledged Dee's issues, and instead of feeling guilt and withdrawing, or trying to put her back in her place as a kid, she acknowledged it and was like, I fucked up, and all I can do is try to make it up to you. That's kind of it. I did owe you something. You were grieving about your dad and I wasn't there. So yes. So anyway, going back to
last thing before we go on, because it's gonna tie into when we see D again, is they take Hippolyta made a lab out of the room where she found the Ori in Letty's building.
We think so. We don't know. We just know there's something.
You hear the gears turning when she opens it. So it's like,
I'm like, it's definitely Geppetto.
What's in there?
It's definitely Geppetto's workshop. Like, they're making Pinocchio's, right? It's something different.
Like, who knows what's in there? It could just be like an amazing drawing machine, but it's like really exciting. And the fact that that's what she says, listen, I'm going to make it up to you. I brought you back some dope ass technology.
I brought you back a Game Boy. First of all, she brought her back anything. I was literally like, what did this bitch bring her TikTok? Like, she had to bring her something, because if you go to the future and come back to the 50s, anything you bring is gonna make me go off.
Right. It's like a 3D TV, like 60.
No, now that would actually blow me the fuck away, because I don't even think they had TVs yet. I think they were still on radio. So I would be like, bitch, you really went to the future.
Exactly. So, okay, so back to the current, what's going on. So D is mostly healed, and then Montrose and Hippolyta are trying to wake up Letty and Tick because they're still technically passed out on the floor. And then eventually Tick and Letty wake up. And
yeah, once she's healed. Yeah.
Letty says, I need a pen and paper. Because she learned the spells and now she has to like write everything down so that she can pass it on and she can help them create the spells that Tick needs to fight Christina later in the episode. So you see that Dee's arm is still petrified, unfortunately. And then they're back together, and now Tick saying, I think we need to use Christina's magic against her to kill her and to fully save Dee.
Yeah, they're going to do the binding spell, which I think binding means like separating or like stopping spell. Basically just like it's separating her from her. They're going to like just bind her. I don't know. I didn't understand it until the very end, so I'm not going to explain it. So they're going to do a binding spell. They're going to hijinx her, and Trost is finally woken up as a dad, and he's like, no, you're not going to do something to harm. You are still my son. I don't, like, we know in the George Freeman's book says you were gonna die. We're not gonna do that. And Tick lies and says that's only one possible future. And Letty hears him, but because Letty was in the spirit realm too and understands the importance of all of this, she doesn't say anything.
Yeah, she said, I don't want to lose my man, but I have to ride for the family now.
Listen, she said, like, I'm not in this. I did not. She's just scribbling anything. Yeah, but she does. Like, what's dope though is like I just compare this to like if you have a good mother-in-law, like it's basically like she's a part of the family now. So she's like, look, bitch, like I'm with y'all. I don't have my mom. I'm not about to make Miss Dora mad. But in general, it's like she understands, like, I had to step into this. And I think that it helps that Nana Hedy, who was extremely brave, was the one who's like, bitch, get it together. And she's like, I can't let her down. This bitch died with me in the fire. Like,
that was really sad. So yeah.
Oh, you see, I have a wall up.
Yeah, exactly. I just laughed through it because it was really sad.
So Letty's like, oh, I know what, because remember, body, intention, whatever else the fuck Christina said you need. So they need Christina's body. Oh, and energy maybe. But Letty's like, I'm gonna go get Ruby. Ruby's got us. And she was like, okay, bet. All right, cool. And Trost is like, I don't. Say again.
You know how I feel about saying,
oh, listen, you got justice this episode, because I was tweeting and I was like, yo, we got to see Ruby at this point. Like, Ruby got to, we got to throw hands, because just the thing she does later in the episode. But yeah, so Trost is cautious about this shit. He's like, you really about to call her? Like, she's over there laying up with the, she's pillow talking with the hoe. How are we gonna get this done? And Tick is like, whatever means necessary. But what's crazy is that, like, at least she's telling them she's gonna do it, because they were doing a lot of information hoarding before, and the team was down bad because of that.
literally, like, gave up the spells, gave up the key, gave up all the things, and it was like, oh, well, actually, we don't have any leverage. What? So now they're on the same page of the Book of Names. No, I'm just kidding. Well, literally, but also and figuratively. So anyway, the next scene. Where am I? I'm sorry, I got a little.
Okay, so now they're in action, and this scene, this is when I started to be like, so they're ready. They got, like, we got modern day music, which we know, like, is a whole vibe, and so they're going to they're going down to do something magical, we know, because they're they're strapped up, they're ready. So they go get an elevator, and they're holding, they are getting ready for action. They hold hands and then they kiss.
Totally expressing their love. Ah.
But also, like, because they know that they're pushing themselves towards something because they have a better, greater purpose, but their time is potentially ticking down. Because we don't know what's going to happen. But we know that Tick might die. So it's like they're dealing with that. So, you know, we see them dip down into where they're...
Anyway.
Put the wall up. I invite you to try my method. Yes. No, it's okay. One of us has to have feelings. So they go down into the water, which we've seen from episode 3, where the bodies were floating, and they're just water there. So they're with it. Okay. So they go back to under the museum. Again, we do not need to know how they got from Chicago to Boston. Right. We don't give a fuck. Magic, nigga, magic. So they're in the middle and they start using salt, which, by the way, you didn't see my tweets today, did you?
No.
Okay, because my tweets were hilarious. I was like, oh, now I understand the great Morton salt shortage of 1955. Because everywhere they go now.
Because all this damn magic.
Yeah, all they doing is like they got tubs of Morton salt for to make protection that all the time. That is
hilarious.
Yeah, I was crying because I was like, that's so silly. Morton's was like, bitch, pay me for this song. So anyway, they start to do something. So from here, whenever they do spells now, it's like, we just don't know. Like, even if you're watching the captions, it's not translating the language of Adam. It's just like, you just gotta know what's gonna happen, and they'll tell you if it worked out or not. So they do a spell. Letty and Tick are, so now Letty is fluent in language of Adam, and they do it, and they summon a white man.
Right, and I said, oh, I thought you were gonna summon your ancestors.
That's what I'm saying.
So then it just becomes clear, like, okay, we need to get Titus back here, but it was a little bit weird because it's like, is Titus still alive? Like, just what was his name? Horatio? The other owner of Titus' house? They had to summon him, and he was like, his spirit was still alive and haunted.
Yeah, it wasn't as, it was like almost like, oh, I guess he did make him solid eventually, yeah.
Yeah, so they summon Titus, and then...
And he's like, oh, did the niggers just disturb my slumber?
Titus had no filter. He said, what the fuck is going on?
He said, reporting live from 1855, ho, what? I know you niggas are not bothering me. What the fuck?
He said, I know you niggas don't have my book. What the fuck is happening right now? Christina?
Yeah, so they start telling a spell, and then he's like, oh, he rolls his eyes and transports himself in front of Christina's car. Somehow he knows where she's at, and this is kind of funny. Christina crashes, and she goes right through the motherfucking windshield, and she's fine.
What she's supposed to be doing as a part of
how did she just catapult out? But like, she just go pew, it's like a cartoon, like pew, and then lands in the grass, and then
right through the windshield. That hurt. Listen, her car is not Woody. Her car is not.
And Ruby is like, you good? And she's like, yeah, I'm good. And she goes, Titus.
Oh my God.
And Titus literally goes, them niggers have the book of.
Oh my God.
Red alert.
I couldn't even be mad. I couldn't even be like, this man. I was just like, this is just too hilarious.
It helped because the fact that they hadn't used the N-word as clearly in the past, I was like, what are they doing? Like, it's the 50s. Niggas still use, white people still use the N-word. But the fact that he definitely used the hard R, I was like, oh, okay. Historical accuracy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Accurate. Yeah. So, and then Christina was like, I mean, yeah, but. I have a
plan. That part didn't even bother her. She was like, Book of Names. And so because I think that again
they have the book.
Yeah, but remember last episode we talked about how she set something up. So I think she knew that the book, she didn't know how they would do it, but she knew that like it was worth it to throw that out there that she would need that to save D and see if they would get it, because she would be able to do a trade or something and trade D's life for it. What she didn't bank on is that their ancestors actually give a fuck about her.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, about them, their ancestors actually give, yeah. So he goes back and he's summoned back because now they have used the ancestors and the power of them to add to the spell. And that's powerful enough to get Titus down. And what they're trying to do is actually carve up a piece of his body.
Yeah, at first I thought they were trying to take his heart out so he
I thought that too,
but
I was confused.
Yeah, they just needed a piece of his flesh, like a significant piece, and I thought that they also might have taken out any protective, like, piece of flesh, like, you know how everyone has a symbol, like, I wonder if he was carving out the symbol,
they did something,
the mark of Cain or something like that.
Yeah, they did some shit and they got it, and then but, you know,
took a very thick chunk of flesh.
Listen, out of his body. Cannibalism trigger warning. There will be cannibalism at some point in this episode. So,
for sure, because that shit gets deep.
LOL. So they they have to reverse the spell, which is releasing this all the spirits back. So they release Titus. They release Nana Hedy, and then. Tick doesn't want to do it himself, but he releases his mama Dora too. Oh, and Hannah's there. They release her. I'm so sorry. There was a point where Hannah was there and Titus is like, bitch, what the fuck? How you cussing me out? He's like, oh, you gonna use my magic against me, bet wench? And she was like,
nigga, you tried to take my child and sacrifice her or him.
Yeah, the child that you forced on me. I didn't even ask you for this, babe.
Like, what? What is wrong with you? Obviously, I was coming back for your ass. Like, I don't know.
She was like, snatchies. That's our magic now, bitch. Manifest magic, bitch.
I love it. That's our magic now. I love it.
Reclaim your magic.
I loved it. I love that. They kill Titus. Unfortunately, the ancestors disappear, but they're gonna be summoned back. They're gonna, like, their magic is gonna.
Well, they're always there, but yeah, they do say after the ceremony is over that they no longer they can't just call, like they use their get out of jail card. Like, that's the last time they can summon them. They're on their own now.
Now, Tick and Letty can be like keepers of the ancestors.
Yeah, Letty is fluent now. Yeah, and Tros is like, I ain't got shit else to do, so I'm here. And then Hippolyte is like, I'm here too, hoes. Don't fuck with me. I got part of God in me. Quit playing. Mm-hmm. So they got all four of them. And then we go to I'm out of order. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So the next thing is the scene with Hippolyte and Dee, but we already spoke about it, where Hippolyte comes to comfort Dee, and then Dee is still pretty upset. And she what's happened to her yet.
In my head, I'm trying to figure out, is it the graveyard scene or the scene in the shop yet? I think it's the scene in the shop.
No, because then the next scene is Ruby at Christina's.
Okay, so here's what I missed. No, okay, then we missed something.
Sorry, you're right. It's at the shop before the graveyard.
Okay, so they're like, okay, Wonder Powers unite, all four of us together, and then who the fuck pulls up?
And so then Christina comes into the auto shop, and she always walks in like, been that bitch, always gonna be that bitch.
And it's like, we don't like you.
Like, knock. Call ahead.
First of all, knock. Second of all, you're lucky you actually have a cute outfit on today. Today you are actually, I like that fit. And that's the only reason we're not about to laugh your ass out of here.
Just walking in.
She does this thing outside.
You better act right.
Listen, she walks in as if she doesn't know that all they're giving up, all they talk about now is the magic bullshit you brought into their life. Like, they're not talking about the Orioles game. Like, they're talking about magic. So she walks in like, excuse me, can I talk to you alone, Tick? Like, nigga, I'm not about to step outside with you. Like, you're my white baby mama in real life. I'm angry. I'm so mad. He's like, you can say this in front, like, this is my team, like, let's discuss. And she's like, what did she ask? She wanted to trade something. She was like, give me the book and I'll give you what?
D?
Yeah, and I was like, bitch, I already solved D, what's next? Oh no, she said something like, I won't kill you
if you give me the book. She said, I'll find another way to figure out my spell.
I'll leave your family alone.
yeah, without killing you, if you just give me the book names. And he said, nah, bitch, we not about
and, to. And not to make this too deep, but I literally feel like that's what Trump has done. I feel like he's been like, look, I'm going to get, you don't have to pay taxes ever again. You just have to fuck everybody else. And then the Republicans are like, deal. Yeah, they're like, here you go. Yeah, they're like, I don't give a fuck, nigga. We 0% tax, I'm down. But yeah, so he's like, no. And I was like, big no, bitch. Like, we don't, first of all, we don't trust you. So you can't give your business. You can't give your word if we don't trust you.
That's it.
That's it. You have no bargaining here. We don't trust you. We did all the work to go. Nigga, we time traveled.
Right.
To get this shit. Yeah, you're immortal, cool. I mean, you're inheritable, but we don't give a fuck. So she's mad. And on the way out, this bitch.
And then not to mention, she might not even, well, we're going to get to it, but she might not even know what she's doing. She's just wasting bodies. Just like her father did.
It's no different than Columbus showing up and being like, okay, give me your resources, because I feel like I kind of thought about it a little bit more on the way here, so I got it.
Like, I don't have a business plan, but it's in here.
But I have investors already because I'm white. So exactly. I'm going to take your business plan. Yeah, there you go.
Give me what you got.
There you go. Give me that. So anyway. On the way out, she does the pettiest this.
Yeah. Just rude. But anyway, so she says a little incantation and then takes the mark of Cain from Letty because she said, oh, I don't get what I want. Oh, well, your bitch gonna die then.
How about this? How about this? You just prove that your word means nothing because y'all had a deal and you have the negatives. You had everything at this point. You didn't even have that when you gave her that.
See, so this is why you cannot, there's no leverage with her. Everyone was like, oh, well, we're going to go see Christine and see what we can do. No, don't trust her with anything. Like, from jump, you should never have trusted her. So anyway, but I guess at the same
time. We knew that.
She did buy them some time because Letty made it through a lot of shit with that.
She did buy them a time. Yeah, because she almost stopped that bullet that night.
Ooh,
she was too. Yeah, she actually walked through fire, so I'll get rid of that. But so that's some bullshit. I was pissed the fuck off about that. And then we go to Letty, and even if this is out of order, we go to Letty in a graveyard, and I'm like, oh, is that her mom?
Right. It seems like it. Another story that I would love to like delve into if they're gonna go to season two, or like season two is like a whole nother story, but it's like some characters. Like, I would love to know what happens with her mom and like that life story.
I think, yeah, but then my only pushback is, one thing I recognize is how like we probably know that story. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we probably wouldn't have to try hard to be like, oh, mother is hard. She's kind of a sex worker and all that. Like,
I don't know. In my head, she's like the female Malcolm X.
I think her mom was trash, you know?
I mean, yeah, but so was Malcolm X.
Not okay. Ooh, this is definitely bonus episode content because that's a debate. So yes. Okay, but anyway, so she's there for her mother, and we confirm it because Ruby pulls up.
Yeah, Ruby pulls up and it's just like, oh well, now you want to be at her grave, but you know, you ain't been shit, and now you just want to.
Yeah, Ruby's been the only one bringing flowers apparently.
Yeah. And but Letty tells her, you know what, I was actually in jail, bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
That's kind of that. Well, it's more like, so who feels bad now? Like, that's kind of the vibe. Yeah, definitely a very sistery thing to say.
But it's interesting because like Ruby feels such an obligation to their mother, but it's kind of like clear/alluded to that their mom wasn't a great mother to them, to either of them. Like, she was a hustler, she was always out, she wasn't really providing. Mm-hmm. They had to grow up fast and figure it out on their own. Like, it kind of feels like that. But Ruby was like, oh, I thought that's our family, we do what we do for family. And Letty took on a different understanding.
Yeah, I'm just thinking deep because their combo, I was going to skip over it, but they have a pretty interesting combo about family. And basically, like, so Letty just went through some shit where like she's now jump kicked into a family that is like, yo, we're riding for each other. Like, yeah, like in all of eternity, we're committed to each other. Like, this shit is this, you come in this gang, you're not getting out by death. So blood in, and that's that. Blood in. Oh well. So Yeah, and so she's like, you know, family's not what we had growing up. Family's not just blood. Family is like really being committed and doing anything. And she's like, you know, so if that's the case, need a quick favor, fam. I need you to get some of Christina's DNA, basically, for the spell. And Ruby is like, she does her thing where she's like, this is why I want to fight her. She's like,
you played yourself asking.
Yeah, you've been doing this. You've been like this for so long. You don't even know when you're like this. And I know you want to like save the world and stuff, but my feelings are still hurt. And I feel like this is a part of your pattern. And I felt that because I'm like, you know, when you have beef and then something really is serious, but someone decides that's today, they're going to say no.
Have empathy because you ain't shit.
It's just like, but sis, like, I promise you, like, this is kind of the last, I promise you, if I have to pull in anything, this will be the last time I ask for shit, because I'm literally trying to cast a spell so this bitch doesn't live forever. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not me asking for $20 and then not paying it back.
Hustle that I've been running, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't, that was disappointing to me.
I don't believe you.
Because what she did say was, she said, like, you know, you only want to be my sister when it's convenient for you and or when you can get something for me. And I'm like, yes and no, that could be true, but she didn't get anything from you to live in that house. She invited you in. She didn't get anything from you to come and just come to your show
that Ruby has, and I don't like that.
Yeah, it's just like, y'all had too many chances to really hash this shit out. And if that's who she is, like, accept, like, it's that thing where when she dies, you're going to be like, wow, I loved her and I forgive her. But when she's living, you're giving her more trouble than you gave your mom. Like, your mom actually owes you something, in my opinion. Or like, she, I don't know. I just feel like there's some, that happens whenever a family member dies, like they become a saint almost, like, and then the people who live on, like, their flaws, they are, have to be accountable, but at the same, in the same breath, we're gonna ignore that mom wasn't shit. So I was very disappointed in that, because she was basically like, I'm not doing it. And I was like, just because Christina lets you stay in her house does not mean that bitch is down for you. And I think that's what it comes down to, like, don't play yourself, like, the same. But I'm trying to think of a good metaphor. I just feel about Ruby, like, Ruby's definitely, oh, this is so disrespectful. I do not mean this to the actress. I just mean this to the character. Ruby is definitely like a Black Republican, basically. Yeah. Ruby is like an Ice Cube. Ruby is like, as long, which I'm not saying Ice Cube is a Black Republican, but she's somewhere in between those two. Because Ruby is basically like, if the white people are giving me what I want, then I think there's a way for us to make it to the other side. So I think it's only fair that I bring up that white people are acting correct today. And it's like, that's never relevant.
And they're not even, like, Christina's not giving you anything. She that gave you a dream. Literally all she gave you was one night of a dream. A couple
she
nights.
Gave you a she gave you a fuck nigga in a white body. And let's be clear, this is what, and I'm glad we didn't edit out my take on Black men and white women, because it's the same shit. Like, you have to go through stuff in every relationship, but it's easier for you to do it because that skin is white, and you're lying if you say that's not a factor. You're lying. It's so easier.
Yeah, Ruby, just whatever, we can't even, there's gonna be more, but it's fine. Anyway, so
and also I'm gonna feel bad about everything I just said in a second.
But
girl,
the next scene, or like, you know, the congruent scene, Tick calls Gia. I knew she didn't get on that 64-hour plane ride back to
How did he know what hotel she was at? I don't trust this nigga.
I said, really? So you had her hotel number, room number, address. You knew exactly where she was at.
That pisses me off.
Trifling.
That pisses me off. We got other shit to find. You want to fuck your side bitch before you die one more time? Get the fuck out of here.
And he goes, sorry, Gia. Our love was real.
That, Coco.
Because in Letty's face, you deny, and then you said, okay, Gia, now that my girlfriend's gone, I'll admit we had a little thing going.
And I'm so sorry I was rude to you. I don't know what got into me.
I am so sorry. I didn't mean that at all. what we have is stronger than anything that I could ever do to hurt you. Don't you know that? Don't you know our love is stronger?
And then says, we're like family because of this.
I think we should just
end. Numbers are floating around my head right now. Make that make sense.
This is all too much. He said, we're family. I said, if this isn't in the handbook of Fuck Niggas USA, then I don't know what is.
He basically just said, you will always be a part of my collection. And you're in your own category, because I don't have no other bitches that got foxes coming out of their holes. Like, you are one of one, sis. Know that.
I'm like, ooh, let's I'm upset. Move on.
I'm like, if I didn't know, wait, but again, this is why cheating is so funny, because it's like, you know how they always want to be like, but you don't understand, like, it was there. Okay, the same way we just said,
I had a reason.
Listen, the same way we just said that Ruby is like, I don't care that the world is ending, you cannot get my favor, is the same logic he's using now. Like, okay, the world is ending, so of course I told the bitch I still loved her. Like, who gives a fuck? And it's just like, that one doesn't sit well with me. That one I don't like.
It definitely hit a nerve.
It hit a nerve. But I will say, in my real life, I'm joking. Like, I think in real life, I would love for you to just be super honest about how you feel about your exes. And then that way, like, if you, like, I will trust if you, actually, I'm gonna be very honest. Like, I would trust if you say, I still care about her. I'll never stop loving her. We decided consciously we should not be together. It doesn't work, and that's true, and that puts me on notice that you niggas could always get back together. And also, like, you know, that is you being able to express your honest opinion with me, because I had I had an ex who I was with, like, for a significant amount of time. I thought he might have been, like, the person I was gonna stay with for a long time. And there was a moment when a friend from high school actually passed away. And so I happened to be home during his wake, and I went to his wake, and I was like, I can't even stay. Like, it was just, like, so upsetting to me. And so, mind you, like, we weren't even best friends, but it was just like, that was too much for me. So I went, and my ex, like, my, like, high school, like, first fuck boy ever, like, who was really impactful, was there. That was actually his best friend. I saw him. I said sorry to him. I said sorry to his friend. I said sorry to his mom that I left, because I was like, nobody else was crying. Like, I was crying. It was just, like, too much. So I told my ex, the one I was with at that time, I was like, I just want you to know that, like, I had a flash of knowing that if I had stayed home and went to college in my home state, I'd still be with that man. Like, I really loved that. I really loved him. Like, I just know that would have been one of my timelines. And I'm like, I'm just telling you that because that's honestly what I was expressing. And you're my best friend, and I want to be honest. That doesn't mean I want to be with him. That doesn't mean I'm going to cheat. That doesn't mean I'm calling him. It means, like, I just realized, like, in my friend losing his life, it was like, yo, it just reminded me of the other lives I could have had. And that, like, there was a time and a place where I might have been still focused on that man. That doesn't mean anything, though, about us. So I say that to say, if you can be honest, that's cool. Because that same ex had his own exes that he would be not so honest about. And that made me feel crazy. Does that make sense? So Tick is basically the worst of all.
Be honest, but if you cheat, don't be honest.
Be honest and just
about your feelings, but, like, keep anything past that. If you did something wrong, don't be honest. But if you didn't do anything wrong, be honest.
Be honest and don't get in a relationship with me unless your feelings for me are the strongest. Because if your feelings for me are the strongest and you have feelings coming up for other people, we can figure that out. But if I'm in the middle, then you're wasting my motherfucking time. That's how I would say it. Yeah. Because I'm a little bit more closer to the poly scale, I think.
Well, anyway, yeah. We're off topic. So,
but this is what they're coming for, because Lovecraft ends one day and we might have more to talk about.
Go ahead. Reference back to a lot of scenes in the show. So I think that the so he does say a lot of interesting things, which still seems shady, but to Jia, he says that, you know, he was denying their love, because if he admitted that, then he would also have to admit that he had a foxtail in the booty hole. No, that's not, I'm just kidding. He would also have to admit.
Twitter poll, which one's worse, Foxtail or Loogie?
Next podcast.
Okay, so, but anyway, yeah, so he
have to admit that.
I get him. I get it.
About his death.
He just wanted and to put it under the rug.
To think about that, he would, and especially after he went to the future, he said it might not have happened, especially now. I'm definitely not trying to admit it. But then now, after he's gone to the ancestral plane, he's like, okay,
fuck.
Might actually happen. So that was really interesting. And then it was really.
And he acknowledged that she only came because she still cared about him.
Oh, yeah. And then it was also really beautiful and slash, like, just it kind of just hit my heart when they were talking about grief and how she felt like she couldn't feel. And she thought it was because she wasn't human and mortal enough. And he was saying, no, you're grieving. Like, your mother died. My mother died. I know what that feels like. And like, that was when he starts to say, like, you're my family, we're forever connected. And so, like,
yeah, I wanted to skip over that.
That part in first, because before he said that, I would have been like, don't try to
yeah
this over right now. But he said, we are connected, intertwined because of our destiny. And then I was just like,
oh my God. I just had a therapy breakthrough.
What?
I wanted to ignore that part of that scene because I was like, because I'm like, I'm being a hypocrite because I'm like, oh, don't have sympathy for her. But I'm like, that's what I wanted. When I had a loss in my family, I wanted my ex to say, you will always be a part of my story. I'm sorry that things didn't end well, and I'm sorry for your loss. And it's like, I feel you. Like, I wanted him to have empathy for me, but he didn't. And so that's why I think, like, I was like, niggas don't do this, but it's like, that's my own projection. So yeah, you're right. Like, he definitely had a more mature, like, he understood. And I also think that the interesting thing about, like, numbness in grief is, like, you almost prefer that because it's, like, it feels like it's either that or, like, sheer pain. You know what I mean? It's, like, which one?
Or you're being remade. You're being...
undone, yep. Yeah, hell yeah. All right, well, that's him. And I think we still agree, no matter his intentions, he's still a fuckboy.
Yeah. So the way that ends, though, is just that Gia says that her shaman said that Tick will still die, and that mm-hmm. and then she's destined to enter the darkness. So it's foreshadowing something, but we
yeah, because we're just like, man, we're past your darkness. Keep it moving, unless you about to fuck Jackie Chan on OnlyFans. It's done.
Yeah, and I mean it's kind of weird because it's like multiple universes. Not, I mean, like on a. What do you, you know, like when the Marvel universes collide, it's like her spiritual realm and his spiritual realm, and then the Braithwaite's realm collide, and
yeah,
it gets a little
yeah, bit it's too much. No, this listen, I'm gonna have some superhero, I have some superhero takes at the end of this, but I just want to clarify, I only brought up Jackie Chan because he's another famous actor, he happens to be Asian. I know he's Japanese and GI is Korean. I was not intending to be racist. I was just saying, like, unless you're going to, like, have some crazy sex on it, we don't want to, I don't want to hear from you no more. That's how I feel. I'm over her now.
Go home. Anyway, no. So we talked about Letty and Ruby at their mother's grave.
Yeah, oh, okay. So we were out of order. Cool.
Not order, but that's fine.
Well, because then we can skip right to Ruby and Christina in the room together.
Yes. So, ooh. Ruby confronts Christina because now.
Well, so because Letty said she was going to tell Ruby, because Ruby said no. And as she was walking away, Letty was like, I have something else to tell you. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck else she was going to tell her.
Neither.
Maybe that she took the marker. Oh, maybe because she took the marker protection away. Maybe she was going to tattle on her.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was. That's a good guess, because then it's just like, oh, you think that, like, we can trust her? She took that mark off me, so that means that I could die. She would mm-hmm. kill me. Mm-hmm. You would let her kill me? You would help her mm-hmm. do what she's going to do, and that could kill me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Christina is, like, looking over her spell, and she's trying to figure out, like,
yeah, she's like,
the moon and how, what point it needs to be inside.
Wait, can we just say that the pictures look so
basic? You took the doing. Rose out and drew a circle.
You're first of all, you're not doing, you're scribbling, you're doodling right now. Like, I don't see any work. Show your work. Like,
one, two, three. 5, 6.
She was like, oh, which shade of blue? I just, it's not, I just don't want to mess with it. I'm just going to stare at it until I'm.
Let's go midnight blue.
Yeah, I'm just going to stare at it until I memorize it, which is how I used to study. Like, I'm just going to look. So.
So me.
Because Ruby comes out and is like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm preparing. Anything can happen. And I'm just like, you showed me 4 sheets of loose leaf paper.
No. That is me at 3 a.m. the night before a midterm in college.
I can't even. Not that I'm about to put a wall up.
On the desk, like.
Just like, Speary, are you retaining any of this? Are you retaining anything? Why didn't you study 2 days ago?
At 3 a.m. and the test is at 9.
You had so many days. You had so many days. You cannot memorize all of this.
Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. Anyway.
We should not have, why did we waste college? We are so.
I know. Oh, ugh. Anyway, because there's so, we have a greater purpose, that's why.
Yes.
We're on the same page. Okay, so then Ruby comes in and she's trying to convince Christina that she's gonna help her. So now it seems like, okay, Ruby might be back on the family's team and she's just trying
to help
Christina.
Yeah, because she notices her vial of blood because she talks about how she made the spell with William, which Jan, and how Christina's just acting like, okay, wait, I'm sorry. So this might be muddled, but basically Christina mentions like, okay, here's my DNA basically in this vial that I used. And then Ruby's like staring at it. And then she's like talking to her about how wrong the spell can go. And Ruby goes, it's going to go great. And I'm just like,
it's like, Ruby, you don't know literally anything about it.
But I'm like, that's all the friends ever do, right? You'd be like, I don't know. And it's like, it's gonna happen. It's like, bitch, I have no idea it's gonna happen, but I'm about to just lie and try to be positive. Like, when mind you could undo the whole universe,
right?
But I'm just gonna be like, you can do this.
All the town, like, literally.
If I say it slow, it means it's true.
Yeah, so, exactly. So then Ruby realized that she was just like, so how did you get my DNA to make the spell to
which I didn't get that either. How did she get it?
She said
when they fucked.
It's when they had sex. Which I still don't get.
William Dick must have been scraping her cervix.
Did like some skin, some hair, some this, some that. And Ruby was really drunk, so maybe
did she scratch him or he scratched her?
I think he scratched her.
No, yes. And remember how she bled and he drank it? You remember when she like took his hand and she like licked it and then they made out and we were like, ooh, white man sex. When we didn't know William was Christina yet.
Right, so
I just remember that, yeah.
Took the blood in the mouth and then.
Yeah, so she tried to play it off, but yeah, LOL, like spit or swallow, basically. She spit or swallowed her DNA.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Never mind. Yeah, so. Okay. Christina's like,
so I'm about to fuck you then.
But I just want to point out, Christina's like, what are you doing? And Ruby makes up an excuse, but Christina's like, oh no, and that's not good. So yeah, so they start kissing in their real bodies.
Yeah, and Christina goes, have you ever done this before?
And she goes, no, I have not. It is my first time. I thought that was so weird. She was like, it is my inaugural experience with a woman. Thank you. Like, it was just like, it was so formal.
But that's what she does what she has to do to get the DNA. Next scene.
She was just trying to fuck. I'm glad that Christina finally came out the closet in her own way, because it's like, you did a lot of work not to just admit that you like women. Simple.
Immortal, and I'm trying to see what the pussy's about. I don't know.
Period. So I don't even know though if Ruby is really attracted to Christina. I think that's the weird part. It's like
the whole cam. That's just my opinion.
I think that Ruby is just like, you're the only person that is doing anything for me right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're the only person giving me the attention I think I deserve. I almost feel that way. I feel like she's anyway, I don't know. I'm already dragging Ruby enough. So
sexuality.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure she is. I do think that it's possible that she's experimenting and not really, like, I don't think this is a pattern for Ruby is all I'm saying. But anyway, so we go to the church and
they're getting baptized. I guess.
Baptized.
get that deep into it, but
yeah, takeaway from this scene is that you had a note about her makeup.
Oh yeah, Letty girl, she had the soft beat, looking gorgeous. I said,
"Ooh, yeah, she looked flushed." She had, yeah, she had some. She was not looking pale. She had color in her cheeks. Yes. So they basically, she's like, "This is making me feel better." So Letty decides she wants to be Christian again. Like, and she did say chasing faith, but she says that now she realizes that God is in her. She sees God in Tick. She knows God is in their baby, and that if Tick is not going to believe in God, he at least has to believe in them and their family. And as that, that's an extension of believing in God. And then they kiss. And I just need to tell you something. The way they kissed in that, I was like, are we fucking in this church? Because I will fuck you in this church. Like,
it got hot and heavy.
If that's the thing.
Pastors waiting for them to go get baptized, and then
he's like,
"Hold on, give us a minute."
They're like, we gotta clean the pool out. We got another one. There's too many. There's fluids in this water now. We gotta go." Like, it's just that would have been me, but I just wanted to bring up that my mom asked if she could listen to the podcast recently, and I said, "I don't think so." She said, "I don't care if you swear," and now I'm like, "It's a hard no."
I definitely said the same thing to my mom. I said,
"It's a hard no." I'm just gonna have to miss out on your friend group and your recommendations. It is a hard NO. Oh my God. You know how many times I've said I wanted to ride this man's face? And I meant it, and I'd rather stand up in my true identity to strangers than to my mother. Yeah, relatable content.
We move to the next scene, and they're back.
We're in the shop.
The auto shop.
We're making it happen now. The plan has been put in place. We are about to do this.
They're ready, but it's so, I mean, we were talking about Gia becomes part of the family. Gia's in the auto shop. I said,
yeah, like, ready. Not a vicious ride. Ugh. It was just like, so to bring up my metaphor, my analogy, like, all the major comic book worlds have, like, an allegiance of heroes, and I feel like that is what is happening. We have our Justice League, we have our Avengers, like, they're coming together to be like, all right, we gotta go defeat darkness real quick, let's put our stuff aside. And Letty is being very chill about it, because I definitely would be like, I don't give a fuck what magic power this bitch has. She's riding in another car, she's on the bus. I'm not doing this.
I don't even want to say that I would be okay with it, because I wouldn't. You lied. Yeah.
I think it would just, I'm trying to think of what I would truly do. I feel like I might be the petty one, being like, but I'm the one with the baby. So maybe I'd be that, but I just feel like it would definitely be like, okay, we can, I think I would sit both of them down and be like, if I catch any inkling, I mean, like, if I think I saw you wink, or I think I saw you look a little bit too long, I'm murdering both of you niggas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Someone's gonna have to die.
No, everyone's dying for sure. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Ooh,
I'll hide it with magic.
Gambling on their lives to accept. Yes. That we're all gonna ride in Woody on our way back to Arden.
And Gia, welcome to darkness. That's what I would say before I killed her. So they all climb in the car, and I thought it was so cute that they put D in the back still, because it's just like, sis, like, and I just remember riding in the back of cars when I was younger. Like, all of a sudden I'm luggage because I'm not
because I'm the youngest.
Because I don't pay bills. Okay, great. But so they got her back there, and then also, like, she don't even have a game to play. That's crazy. The 50s was boring, bro. So yeah, they're in the car, and it is, so before they go,
Ruby walks up at the last minute with a vial of Christina's blood. Again, it's like, y'all had sex and she just passed out and you just took her blood, but okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I guess it was just like.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I think it was actually just on the counter.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, like.
But it's, I feel like Christina would definitely notice it because she's trying to be meticulous about everything. But maybe Ruby is like, who gives a fuck? And then what's interesting is that Ruby gets in the car with them. I was probably equally surprised about Ruby in the car than Gia, because I'm like, I could see if Ruby helped, but you don't got to come. Like,
yeah,
you're going to be there to. you're gonna be split in the middle now. Like, I'd rather you hide it and then wait to see if Christina comes home than to be like, I don't understand why you would be there with us, or if you're helping us. Like, I guess maybe the idea is that she like is done with her now, so she took it and she ran, and now we're just gonna go do this. But anyway, yeah, she was like, I want to be with my sister, so they all ride together.
Christina might die, so it's like, okay, well, she gonna die.
Like, yeah, yeah. But I if it was me and I was already worried about being neutral, I was playing like I was neutral, or I was neutral, I would just stay behind and be like, whoever come home first is who I'm gonna act like I was on their side the whole time. Like I'll be here.
Oh, you're immortal now? Okay, well, I'm trying to be CEO of Marshall Field. Yeah. Pick it up.
Listen, I'm trying to be white and sell pantyhose, as they said on SNL. Yeah, so they get in the car, and then there's this really cute scene where they're all singing, and I swear to God, I was like, oh, they're about to hit a wall, and everyone's going to die. Like, I was like, there's no way this is just a nice scene.
Oh, but no, it was.
It was
just like, oh, they're about to just make this a musical.
Yeah, they were just singing, so it started with...
it was like D starts singing, and then
she... No, it was D, yeah, it was D.
And she was just like, basically, like, let's just be optimistic. Like, everything's
amazing. Yeah. It was just like Shubidoop song.
And Gia joins in. I was like,
yeah, okay. Like, you know, not only do you know English, you know American songs. Like, where, what is going on? Yeah. Like,
she does, because she used to watch the American movies. Duh.
Oh, that's the only. I'm thankful because I really tweeted about this. I tweeted about this. And then Ruby sings it. And then the front row is still tight because, like, you know, Trost is the grouch, and then Tick does the baritone part, he does the low voice part, and then they all get into it, and then Montrose says shaboom to the song, and I was like, I feel incomplete until I know how to make a gif out of that. Why do I not know how to put that right into my phone and make this gif? Why is it not easier? It should be three buttons I press from the HBO app, and then anyway, so that was just so cute.
From the computer and everything.
Although they're gonna drive into a magical wall, but no, they make it there, and then they put their plan in action.
And it gets weird because Tick has to, so they keep talking about the binding spell means that all three bodies have, or like flesh, have to be in the same place. And so that includes Tick, Christina, and Titus, which is weird because I'm just like, well, Titus and Christina are on the same side, but whatever. So
but we find out that they went back to the bloodline. I think they went back to, like, because they didn't just pull up her daddy, they didn't pull up Samuel, they pulled up the main nigga that started the shit, probably.
And then who's there now? Oh, because this binding spell is supposed to reverse what Christina's trying to do, or like stop
it's supposed to fuck her whole bloodline up. Because I feel like, because I guess maybe they're like, because also, mind you, they got information from the spirit realm that we all don't have, so it's like they're going back to the root, because maybe they thought it was just Christina, but then they realize shit, she can summon Titus back herself and do this shit over again if she really wants to. Like, they have to cut it off at the head, basically,
right? So anyway, Tick
and more insult. Yeah. Just saw everywhere in this forest.
So Tick eats the flesh of Titus, and then he drinks the blood of Christina, and Montrose said, listen, squeeze
pinch it, pinch it,
and swallow, and gives him some liquor to wash it down. And I said, I would die.
I tweeted out, not the Braithwaite communion, not the blood of my body, flesh of my
Mm-mm. So that was, but
so there's your cannibalism warning. We did get to the cannibalism, and we move. So
Montrose gets out the salt and he starts drawing symbols, and Tick walks towards the ruins, which,
like, let's do this.
Fire blazing.
And I was like, I guess Christina's just getting the ceremony ready, but like, yeah, like basically the whatever part, the hearth of the mansion is still there, and she's ready. So he walks up, and the motherfucking village people.
Yo, they are in on it. I don't know if they're brainwashed or what, because white people, you really
they don't just do anything. They love a cult. They are they're looking for cults. Have you started?
No, I haven't. I just keep hearing.
We can do that show in one episode or two, maybe. Listen, I cannot wait for you to tell me how you feel about the hazing and how you feel about the whiteness of it, and how and if the main guy reminds you of any white boy you ever went to school with, because it definitely gave me seventh grade vibes. But anyway, so
but yeah, it's just weird that the townspeople just come through, no questions asked, like, oh, we already know Tick, we seen his picture, we know when he walks through we're gonna strap him to this little, not little, this, I don't even know what you call it.
Yeah, like they just grab his shit and take him, and I'm just like,
yeah, they're like, oh, we got your back, don't worry, you're not gonna need that where you're going.
Like, I wonder if they're real people. Like, they could be conjured. Like, there could be so many things wrong with them. But anyway, so yeah, so they're just there. I'm starting to freak out. And then we're not quite sure nothing's wrong yet, but we just know that they were ready. So I was like, maybe that was going to happen regardless. So he goes willingly. And then they're all doing getting ready. So Letty and Ruby are putting symbols on this part. And I'm like, damn, they got a whole tiered plan. Like, Trost is outside. Niggas are over here.
Blood, which I'm assuming is Tick's blood, that they're drawing the symbols in.
Yeah,
a watchtower.
Mm-hmm. So they're getting ready, and then they start talking about it, Ruby and Letty.
Yeah, and then they're just talking about, oh, like, such a good idea that you could use this spell, and then Ruby just starts like saying some weird things that they haven't talked about, and next thing you know,
oh, she says I'm glad you agreed to do it, and she goes, yeah, and that's because I thought, so here's what I thought at first, it was like we heard music and I was like, did she just
she didn't agree.
No, yeah, I think I'm just telling you what I thought in that moment was that, remember how they forget shit in the beginning, like the magic, like the whistle? I was like, did they just make her forget it? But you just made me realize she was testing her, because she was saying, remember how you said you would do it in the cemetery, which is not what happened. It's right. The opposite happened. So when Ruby said, yes, I did say that, Letty said, oh, fuck.
This is not her.
And we find out it's Ruby Tina.
Exactly. I was like, I can't ship another. Anyway,
I'm pissed the fuck off. And she's like, what happened to my sister? She's like,
real hot.
Yeah, well, she said what happened to my sister, and she said it's your fault. If you didn't make her do this and try to spy for you, she wouldn't be dead. So we know that Christina killed Ruby.
Yeah,
ruthless. I thought you just promised Ruby. Oh, she said, because she said, I promised her that I wouldn't harm you, but now I had to harm her. And it's like, oh, so you keep no word. You keep no promises.
Literally. So it's like back to scene one. It's like, don't trust her. Like,
yep, I'm not a good one.
Trust her. There's no leverage. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, you're not willing to be an ally enough to sacrifice anything. It's still like allyship only works for you if it helps you achieve your ultimate goals of world domination. But anyway, like you said, they start fighting, and it was Letty got a good clean shot, and that made me so happy.
And I was like, yes, Journey, get it.
But at the same time, we see that Hippolyta and Gia and Trost are on the bridge, this bridge where all this other shit happened, and the villagers come out of nowhere, and it turns into a full-fledged fight scene.
Yeah, and they don't really fare so well, unfortunately. Listen,
but they were kicking some ass. Hippolyta had her warrior skills.
Hippolyta is like...
She's that bitch. She's that bitch. And Gia was just like, oh shit. And I'm like, yeah, if you don't whip
I was a little surprised at Gia. I thought she was gonna have some hands.
You don't yoke them niggas up, yeah, like where is the pussy ropes? Pull them out.
I know. I was just like, you got tails.
And Trost was like, all right, I'll give him the old one too. You know, I learned how to fight in the war. Like, he's just, he did what he could. But they do okay, but there's way too many of them. So now they have them.
So, okay. So they go back to Letty and Ruby, and Letty opens a hatch, and we think that Ruby's going to fall through it, Ruby Tina. But of course they couldn't end it like that.
Yeah, Letty needed to just go hard. Like, you cannot, I don't know. I've never had the intense fight and just been laying on the ground. I had to get myself up. But I'm just like, all you had to do was give her the good old, what's Simba's daddy's name?
I'm like
Mufasa. Give her the good old Mufasa treatment. Take her ass right off that, yep, just let her ass go. But nope, she comes back and throws
Letty to her death. It was a thud like no other. I thought I died.
I heard her bones crack. I said, bitch, I know you didn't take her invulnerability off just to kill her on the
like, you couldn't even just
bitch.
You threw her. It was on dead on
impact. I screamed. I was so upset. I'm upset. Okay, so they fight. We're all about to lose. Okay, this is what I tweeted at this moment to give you a real. I wish I could. If I gave a fuck enough, I would put them up on the screen, but it's not that deep. So I was like, this is the combined feeling of the 2016 election and the Falcons losing the Super Bowl that year. It was like just two upsets for Black people back to back. It was just like, the whites always win. That's what it felt like. That's what it was giving me. The whites will all, supremacy is supreme. Okay. So, so she turns back into herself and comes in like ready for her ceremony. Cause now she got tick ready and she's
thin, white veiled.
Listen. And so the ceremony starts and to do it, cause she needs his blood. She slits him from like wrist to forearm on both arms. And I was just like, that was,
what do you think you're, this is Mortal Kombat? Like,
that was so violent to me. I just hate seeing somebody's wrist slits, but then also like just seeing him
spilling out
and she bathed in it.
I'm going to go drink some.
I fucking hate that bitch. Ooh, I can't. It's like the chick that killed Selena. I can't see her in nothing else.
Yeah.
She's always going to be. You shouldn't take that role, sis. I can't unsee.
Sorry.
I can't unsee you. So, yeah. So she, this just happened so fast. She just, so he goes, he sees everybody and Tick is like, where the fuck is Letty? And she's like, oops, bitch, killed her ass. Fuck you. What you gonna do about it? And he's just like defeated because he's like, this is not. Oh, she was like, ha 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 ha. You tried it and you might have got me too, but y'all, you niggas shouldn't have brought Ruby into it because I caught her dumb ass. And I'm just like, you're a whole villain.
And Ruby is dumb. Ugh, it made me even.
I don't know. I feel like I would have. What would I have done differently? What would you have done differently?
It's not, she's not dumb, but it's just that she was not making like the most sound decisions, but she was very strong and wrong through everything. It's not that she's dumb. She just wasn't.
She trusting her ultimately. It's just the irony is that if she didn't trust her that much, she never would have gotten close enough to get it. So I actually, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, she made the right decision in the end to try to support Letty. So we find out that she was killed trying to get the DNA. And so Christina caught her in that moment and didn't forget it. So I think that, yeah, like, it's like, I don't know how to get out of that. Like, if she hadn't trusted Christina, we never would have been here. But if she didn't try, they really would have been fucked because they never would have gone in with the confidence. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. So we are just watching Christina take his lifeblood away, like when Samuel Braithwaite tried it fits before, and it is heartbreaking. And I'm just like, where's the safe? Who's gonna fix this? Who's gonna stop this?
It's like all the people with magic are either dead or in this spell.
They're bound. Yeah, yeah. So then we see Letitia fucking Lewis.
Of course, she just
wakes up.
It's up like Buffy.
Not like Buffy.
I can't watch that show.
Buffy did used to wake up like that though and be like, I'm still here. Let's
next morning. Ugh. I hate when they carry me. Damn it. Every single time you could have just put me in the bed. Damn it.
I didn't even watch it either, but I just thought that's funny. Okay, so she has a triple mark. Like, she got like all the marks. And I'm like, who gave that to her?
Yeah, actually.
Was it Hannah?
I don't really know what
happened. I do not know. This is the point where we have to guess because I have no idea how the fuck that happened. I was like, where's the plot hole I missed? Like, was it, I assume it was Hannah or Nana Hattie. It was somebody gave it back to her after she lost it. But I'm just like, because she saw them. After Christina took it is when they did the whole thing with Titus. So maybe they did it during that time period and we just didn't see it. Or maybe she knows how to give it to herself now because she speaks the language. Something happened where nobody knew but her that she had it.
Or did Christina, I don't know.
Because we saw the mark be gone.
Christina look at her and like they do a flash of scenes and you see Ruby, but it's Christina looking down at Letty. And I'm wondering if she maybe didn't want her to fully die because just in case she might still need the baby if the spell doesn't work.
I don't think so. I think that Christina thought she was dead because the way she left, she didn't finish it. And she like, I just feel like she made Tick think that she was dead. So I think because she was surprised, she wasn't looking out for her. So Letty comes up and Tick sees her right before he dies. And that brings a smile to his face because he's like, okay, you're okay. George is okay. And he fades away and he literally dies.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
I wasn't really ready for it. I thought
I'm still not ready.
I'm gonna cry anyway. I didn't think it was wrong.
What? So
Gia steps in. We forgot.
Wait, no. Oh no, we didn't get to that part. We didn't have to get to that part yet because now Letty's here and Letty is like bitch, and she takes a sword that she got from somewhere and stabs.
Christina. Oh, yes.
And Christina is, and Letty's like saying a spell. She's like, bitch, this was the whole plan anyway. I got you. And Letty is, and Christina is like, it's too late. I'm fucking immortal now. I cannot die.
Like she tried to stab her and the stab wound just disappeared.
Heals her, yeah. But Letty's like, I don't give a fuck, bitch. We came this far. I'm gonna keep saying this spell. Something's gonna happen. And then Hippolyta is like, they need to be bound. Like there was no, cause she was like, so something's happening. There's, we see a cloud forming and she's like, it doesn't matter. Cause that wasn't even my DNA that you got somebody's random DNA. So it's not gonna work. And which I don't, maybe that had significance that she probably had like somebody else's DNA. Maybe she had William's DNA or D's or Dell's or whatever, but that's when Gia steps in.
Yeah, so Gia, she sees like her purpose and she realizes this is when she becomes one with the darkness, and she steps in between like the moonlight and the like gust,
the cloud, the dark cloud. Yeah,
yeah, the cloud that is forming because of Letty's spell. And to complete Letty's spell, she steps into the darkness and then uses her tails to bound
Tick and Christina. So
and
she's now the conduit.
Yeah,
which is like, this is a cheat code. This is some Eastern magic that is now laid onto this like American magic, and it's like
crossover episode.
It's yeah. So and now I'm like, here we have our another Avengers thing where it's like basically if it was Batman versus Iron Man, basically, which is not a thing, but it's basically like somebody from another franchise comes in and is like, look, I'm gonna take my superpower that was not a part of this before and make it a part of that. And it's like, you know what? As a fan, I didn't have time to study the rules about that, so I'm gonna have to accept it. It's gonna have to be okay because I assume that your magic applies here. So that's all they need to let the spell apply to it. And when the dust clears, Christina is laying under rubble.
Yeah.
And she's trying to say the spell.
But it's not working.
And this is, it's giving the end of Friday when Debo got knocked out and they were like, you got knocked the fuck out. It's giving that.
Yeah. Basically, Letty says, oh, you thought you had magic? No, bitch.
Let me tell you that. Wait, hold on. Wait, let me get ready. Let me get ready. Because this, I yelped. I jumped for joy. I did a praise dance when she said this. She said, not only did I take away your magic,
whites,
no white magic. I said
that's something.
Misha heard my prayers. Misha heard my secret prayers that I don't utter out loud. Like,
go into the 21st century with y'all wielding magic. That's what we're not gonna do.
Listen to me, it was everything.
Yeah,
it was everything. It was like, yes, because. And this is a stretch, but I really feel this way. It's like, I've been thinking a lot. We talk a lot about capitalism and how like capitalism is not that bitch like it acts like it is. Like we really being told in schools, like, at least it's not socialism, at least we're free. And they keep saying, like, it's because socialism doesn't work, like, people have tried it. And it's like, capitalism is not really working that well either. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it's not perfect. Like, we probably have the same level of issues of socialism, including the government corruption. So anyway, I bring that up because it made me feel that people always make it seem like people are so bad, they cannot have a system that is about equality and justice. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, like, so be better. And I feel like taking magic from white people is acknowledging that, like, if white people have magic, magic will be fucked up. It will be, because it'll be somebody's trying to be a megamaniac. Because when you pair whiteness with that, there's no way it's just about helping others and being part of a community. Whereas the way that Black people have used it in this context is for survival, community, like, love, like, health. It has not been to just be immortal for whatever fucking reason, because you want to prove something to your father who's dead. It's not been about, it's not meant to curse people. We ain't seen nobody curse nobody. We ain't seen that, like, it's not to abuse a kid in the hallway because you feel like it. It's like, so I do think that it's like, yeah, white people don't deserve magic. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that.
Bloody bars white people for magic for the foreseeable future, hopefully.
For the win. Yeah, that's for the culture. That one was for the culture.
Yeah. And that saying is going to die with 2020. But anyway, Montrose gets up and it gets really sad because he's just really connected with his son. We understand now the relationship between the parents and like just that familial bond. And now he has to lose Atticus, and he didn't expect that because Atticus told him he's not going to die.
Now, here's what fucked me up. What takes me out at the end is that music with the letter. The person who just died reading their letter. This is, like, when my walls went down. He said, "Dear Pop." I said,
"No."
And then they, like, brought him out. Like, they carried him out. And
he was on, he was on the machine, like. Not funny, but
I hate you. Okay,
Montrose is like, take it up, and we're like, he goes.
He was like, come on, quit playing. And I was like, is it possible to get him back up? Let's do that. Misha, I'm like, I don't care if it makes sense, just wake him back up. What the fuck? Because I don't know, I just, death really gets me. So, anyway, we think it's over. Like, it's, oh, there's this point where. Okay, sorry, there's two things we need to bring back up. So at one point, Dee's just in the car reading, and she's this is almost like the end credits. It's like, which again, now we're in a superhero movie because Marvel has this thing. You're not a Marvel head, right?
No, but I know, like, at the end of the movie,
yeah, you don't leave.
Yeah.
Or, like, Deadpool did a thing where, like, they did a scene and then they waited and then Deadpool came back. Like, I promise you, there's nothing else. Like, y'all really need to get the fuck out of this theater. Like, I just really love Ryan Reynolds. So, they were so Dee's in the thing and then she starts hearing something and then all of a sudden one of Christina's monsters come out and we're like, bitch, what? I'm like, oh, Dee's about to die because this monster don't play. Like these are the monsters that don't. Yeah, these monsters don't discriminate. They just want to eat anybody. And then Tix Monster comes out of nowhere and say, which that we saw on that scene where they were like on the way from Chicago to Boston via underwater. They walk by this hatch in the ground and the monster's growling. And Tix is like, what's up? Here you go, your tree, doggy. And the monster's right. Like, girl, we're good. So I guess Tix Monster has followed them and he saves her. So at the end, we see the monster and we see Dee. And Christina's still laying under the rubble. Help me.
And then I'm just like, who did she think one of the townspeople were coming through? No, they're dead. That explosion killed everybody. She's so annoying. She's so aggy. Ugh, she's just like, please, I'm sorry. I tried to kill everybody, but
She's such a manifestation of, I try to be good. Ultimately, I was bad, but I tried to be good. So what do you want from me? So anyway.
I gave you guys a few spells. Like,
yeah, like she could have died. Just let me
have mortality. Come on.
Like, y'all know that usually the police kill you. I saved you from that. So thank me later. So anyway,
I'll be living in my house.
So listen, so D walks up and I'm like, oh, bitch, how you talking about help? Nigga, that's a monster. That's a monster thing. But then I'm like, does she doesn't have magic now? So does the monster have a taste for her? And D walks up and part of the scene when Jia was, when she was dying, Jia, we saw both of their lives intertwined. So we did, you know, cause like how Jia's foxhole thing helps her to do that. So we saw Tick being wonderful and loving with D and training that monster up. So D now knows the monster and they got to know each other. And then also we, to protect her, by the way, so that, cause D deserves protection. And then we talk about, you know, them, him getting baptized and we see all this beauty. And then we see the last moments for Ruby. We see Christina being a bitch and killing her. And so we see that like she really deserved to die. And I wonder if that was a soul that, I wonder if like her soul was taken. I wonder if if that helped Gia to get her last soul. But anyway, in that we see that D now knows this monster. So that makes sense. And I think the monster is about to kill Christina, but instead,
D unveils her beautiful new arm.
Bitch.
We assume that Hippolyta constructed from her in the lab that we didn't see, but we heard.
And this is my final superhero thing. There is a DC superhero called Cyborg. And I was like, bitch, if you don't start the franchise off right, like, I'm like, this needs to be, I need to see this movie. I need to see her. It's like, I need to see her. And then there's a Shuri spinoff. And then I just need to see all of it because Black people and tech is it for me. It is it. I need to see her solve crime and be a hero with this fucking arm. This is amazing.
It is amazing. So unfortunately, it ends on like, it's like almost like a villain note. Cause it's just like, she has to kill
Christina. I love that.
But I loved it, but I was also like, no, don't like corrupt.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, you're so young. Like you don't have to, but cause she goes to-
At the end of the day, like, no, she has to deal with reality and she's gonna grow up.
And she goes, LOL, Christina, you really think I'm gonna save your ass? I'm not dumb, bitch. We share information now. I know you're bad. And so she squeezes her neck.
Like D, can you help me?
You're a baby.
Maybe D, remember I took that purse off you?
And then it's like, so she squeezes her neck, like she like snaps it. It's done. And I was like,
worked out.
I was like, that's better than an orgasm. Like that was just, it was perfect.
Crazy.
It was good. It was done. But you're exactly right. I was like, this is her origin story. Like white people magic killed her father, and then she had police violence against her that she overcame. And so now, like, I'm like,
yo. This is
It's like an Aquaman. An Aquaman, Yaya was the villain, and he was a villain. I was like, oh my God, like his backstory is heartbreaking. I really want him to win. Like, so Black villains are the best villains because you'd be like, if they win, I'm still okay. Yeah. You're like, I'm still good with this.
It was, ultimately, it was racism anyway that caused them
so
to.
So I'm like, yeah. So I was just like,
so, yeah.
Clap it up for this finale. This was a good finale.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy. I would be okay if this is the end. It was dope to dive into.
It was okay if it was saying, yeah. That was the way to end it.
Combination of like magic, Black magic, future. I'm giving
Black girl magic.
SNL.
Yeah, after futuristic sex and afros and yeah, no, it was wonderful. So I have a question for you. I have a couple questions for you too, so we can wrap this up. This is a question we asked early in the season. And if you have another question that we need to answer, let me know. But I just want to ask you one last time. Where did the cop go? So the cop is got transported to the future. The first
That's like Bobby Shmurda's hat. It just never came back down.
That cop is on Mars somewhere, like freeze. And the Martians are like, fuck, you know. Like, you know, I just think that's that was my question. Did you have a question for the season that needs to be wrapped up?
Question, I mean, yeah, but no. I think my question is, on a sick note, I wonder what happened to the captain with all those different body parts. And what story that
was. Oh, listen, I'm wondering, like, I was so disappointed that whole police force wasn't wiped out. But I guess I'm wondering, like, without magic, they, oh, we know what happened. without magic, they just become cops, and then they just keep terrorizing Black people because they can, and then we have today.
Yeah.
So life imitated art there. This episode, what do you want to call this episode? We have manifest magic is one option, but I think there's a couple more that can come out from this.
I don't remember. I feel like I wrote it in my notes somewhere or something.
Yeah, okay, cool. We'll do that. Okay. Because there's also like reclaiming my magic, but I'm just like, I think, I don't know, it might. So I really just want to, as we wrap up here, I'm like, I just want to point out that I really love a lot of our episode titles. I think they're funny, and they're funnier when you watch the episode, but I think they're good. What has it been like for you doing season one of this show?
It definitely was like, I mean, we started it off saying we're not experts. We are not historians. We're never not even like 100% blurred. Like we have, like, I mean, what I've learned
we're
is
not,
that
we're not.
The blurred like community mm-hmm. is like so diverse and unique. So we technically fit within there, but we're just here trying to
create Black women centric content. That's it.
Oh yeah, experiences. Yeah, I forgot about that part. Black woman centric content for sure.
Wait, okay, so just a quick note, we decided just to be fun and wear lingerie for the last episode, and then we didn't even talk about it. We just did a regular episode. So love that for us, that we are so smart. It's stay up here, do not look down here. Okay, we are here. Listen with your ears and your brain, not your dick. Okay. And then also which is a joke, like you can lust after us if it means you will click our content. That's fine too. So we usually end with predictions. So instead of ending with that, what's next for Words Best Productions?
So first of all, we're definitely going to be just a content hub. So we're coming out with another podcast to be announced, honestly, because
soon.
But it's coming soon.
Oh yeah, we're gonna change the name, but it'll be coming. Mm-hmm.
We'll probably be doing a few movies in the future.
$1 million deal with NBC Universal. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say so if there's any confusion, our company name is Words Best Productions, and this podcast is just our first official podcast under that moniker. We also have another podcast that's out there that is our anonymous brand, that is very like, it makes sense as a root and the start of where we went. And in the future, we won't do just recaps, like we'll just have regular podcasts. So if you came for Lovecraft and stayed because we're hot as fuck and also because we're funny, like we have, when I tell you, like, this is a fraction of the laughs we have to bring to you, and the realness and the dialoguing about dating and being Black and being American in a trash world and just all these different things that are a part of our identity, and also things that are not that smart or witty and just exist. We're here for that too.
Yeah.
Well, shit, that's it. I don't even know how. Oh, well, we do have an ending. I'm like, what do we say in this journey? But yeah, thank you guys so much for supporting season one of Dovecraft Country. We will be back if there's a season two of this show, period. That's on everything. Thank you to the Watch What Crappens podcast for shouting us out recently. They did us on our business spotlight. That's exciting. And then yeah, like there's so much, there's just so much good stuff going on. We're so excited. Yes. Oh, and we never do this, but follow us on Twitter. Coco is at @amplify_elevate, and I am at @word_spec, which is spelled like spec, SPEC. And that is where we put content out. You know, we're on all the streaming platforms, and we also have a YouTube show. And I think that's the best way to see how dope we are, because we're both very cute. And here is our ending. So thank you for listening to us recap season one of HBO's Lovecraft Country. Don't forget to let the Black women in your life know that they are witty, cultured, and worth your while. Oh, and read a book and then put a quote from that book in the letter you write to your dad when you die. Oh, I don't want to cry again. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Word Special.